Welcome back to Sportsnet 650. It's half Canucks talk, half the people show here on a Friday. We are live at the Nat for a nooner. The Seas are taking on the Tri-City Dust Devils coming up in just over an hour. You'll hear the game here on Sportsnet 650. And the man who will call the game is our pal, Tyler Zickel, the voice of the Canadiens. Tyler, it's good to see you, man. What's going on?
Good day, fellas. Half and half. I like that. This is like the Arnold Palmer of radio today.
That's exactly right. By the way, what a drink.
All time.
Love it. I love an Arnold Palmer.
My go-to for sure.
Also, just like a very cool thing to have named after you.
I mean, I
know Arnold Palmer has an incredible legacy beyond that, but that's a good one.
The vibes of ordering it, because I don't know if a lot of people know what an Arnold Palmer is. You should. By the way, half lemonade, half iced tea.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you go to a restaurant, you're like, oh, I'll get an Arnold Palmer. And they're like, what? Pardon?
Seen you can buy Arnold Palmers in the store now, like a jug of Arnold Palmer.
But isn't part of the joy, I'm a 65-35 guy, not a 50-50. Isn't that part of the joy? I'm not sure if I trust someone else to do it.
Well, you got to test, I guess.
Yeah.
You can always adjust, right? You can top up with your own at home if you need to.
I suppose.
Anyways.
It's a lot of work.
All right. It's always a highlight for us to be here for the Nooners. This is our first one of the year, but lots more coming up over the summer. How's the season going so far?
You know, it's been an up-and-down year. Of course, after the championship in 2023, it's all coming up roses here in 2024. We're still riding high on that championship buzz, but it's been fun. North Delta BC native Brent LaValle is back as the manager for the third consecutive season. We had 15 returners from that championship team, and the new guys certainly blending in quite well. I think they've been waiting for the weather to turn the corner like it has as we enjoy a beautiful afternoon here on Ontario Street today. But this feels a little bit like a second half team like they were in 2022. But this league, the Northwest League, a lot more parity in this league this year. Everyone is still in the first half hunt. We've got about three more weeks in the first half. Seas are five games back at the moment, but they could rattle off three wins in a heartbeat. And if you get a doubleheader sweep today, that changes the complexion.
I was going to ask because it feels like they've not been immune to slow starts in seasons past. So this is something that I would imagine the manager is very comfortable with of working through a season.
Yeah, par for the course. And, you know, we play so well here at home, but when the weather at home is not necessarily too favorable for putting on your best athletic feats out there on the field when it's, 12 degrees or even 9 degrees at first pitch, God forbid, and it's wet, it's damp. Not really baseball weather the same. So as the weather turns, it seems like in my four seasons, the Canadians have definitely gone as the forecast gone, improving as the summer goes along.
Ryan Jennings, I believe, on the mound today. And, you know, he's got the 0-3 record, but then you look at the rest of his stat line, a 2.59 ERA, 33 strikeouts in 31 and a third inning. So obviously the win hasn't been there yet for him, but he's clearly doing a lot right on the mound right now.
Yeah, they say kill the win, right? Those people who are all about the analytics these days. An 0-3 record does not tell the story for Ryan. This is a guy, a fourth-round pick out of Louisiana Tech a couple of years ago. We got to meet him last year, pitched in the postseason, actually. Got the start in Game 4 of the Northwest League Championship Series. Struck out the side to set the tone, and the Seas went on to a terrific win to clinch the championship. And has picked up where he's left off. He's got a really strong lower half, comes down the mound with a lot of assertiveness and aggression, and he's able to also mix his pitches quite well. So a guy who is chasing that first win of the year today, but the right guy that you want. If I want one guy to start a game for me, I'm picking Ryan Jennings.
Some of the bats, Desaun Brown, hitting it is a name I'm sure fans who've been here at the ballpark regularly remember from last year. Starting off really strong.
Yes, really well. He knew what his assignment was coming here to Vancouver this year for his third season at the level, but his second opening day roster here in High A. That's hit his way to AA New Hampshire. He's done that. The average now north of 260. He's among league leaders in power numbers, including homers, OPS, and slugging. And he walked three times last night to get that great speed on base. He leads the team with 10 steals. And, as we know and love, Oakville, Ontario's finest. So any native sons that we can support, we're all for it. And as a number 27 Blue Jays prospect, Desaun won't be here for much longer.
Right.
It feels like he's going to get that plane ticket booked to the East Coast of the U.S. pretty soon.
Yeah, really. I mean, he's kind of the total package this year, right? Like, you talked about the hitting, the power number is there, the plate discipline with the walks, 11 stolen bases, hasn't been caught once, so that's a really impressive ratio. And he's playing a premium position at center field, right? Only 22. So as you said, I mean, that's a guy who's done everything he needs to do to get that promotion to the next level.
It must be great for just the whole team to kind of see that progression from a key player year over year, right? Not that he wasn't a good player last year, but to see that big step taken for Desaun Brown this year.
Yeah, absolutely. He and a couple of other guys just had Justin Kelly, a terrific reliever, who was a champion for us last year as well, promoted to AA. So these guys who lead by example on the field and off, Desaun very much a leader on this team. Guys look to him for that example, especially some of the younger guys who are here for the first time in their first full pro season. So Desaun, who started his pro career in 2019, he's always had those raw tools, but it's been so great for me personally and for us as a team to watch him grow, lead by example, and such an easy guy to root for. That is a guy always with a smile on his face, always says yes to media availability, meeting local kids, doing whatever needs to be done, not just on the field but off. He's a guy that I'll be rooting for a long time.
These 4 or 5 years that we've been coming here and, you know, we're in the park and get to see these players grow, I've marveled at the integration levels and the timing that the clubs have chosen when a guy accelerates to the next level. And so I look at a player like this, and as you mentioned, a bunch of first-year players kind of looking at this player as an example, and just having that stability and the track record for the organization of timing this really well to accelerate guys through.
100%. And you know what? I know the Blue Jays have been drawing a lot of ire from the fan base across this country and internationally.
No comment. No comment.
On this station, perhaps. And honestly, rightfully so, of course, because yep. So much expectation. You got to, you know, put up or shut up, as they say. But to give the Blue Jays credit, and they deserve a lot of it when it comes to player development. This is my 7th season in the organization and 4th with the C's. To see how they have brought these guys along, equipping these guys with what they need, not just on the field, but working on the mental side of things. The mental performance staff has really taken a lot of leadership in getting these guys equipped to deal with the rigors of a season. There's no sport like baseball where you're playing every day for 6 months straight. And when you're a youngster who's had a lot of success at the prep level or in college, for example, you get to fail for the first time really in your athletic life. And more than getting better on the field, you've got to get better in between the years.
Have you had to spend a lot of time, like, convincing players about the weather? Like, no. Trust, like, the guys who are new here, like, no. I swear, it's going to be nice.
I've done a couple of those for sure. And even last night, talking to our bullpen coach, Carson Phillips, he was a guy who certainly was excited to get up here for his first season in the pro coaching ranks. But all these guys have heard about how great this ballpark is, how great the city is, and when the weather turns, how great the experience is. So they know, and patience is a virtue. They've been waiting for it, and we're just starting to feel like they're going to get what they deserve.
June tomorrow. Let's hope the weather turns. Let's hope we get a lot more days like this one is shaping up to be. Before we let you go, you know, we were talking about Desaun Brown and the year-over-year improvement. And as you said, like first half and then second half here in the Northwest League, is there a player on the team that you think could be primed for kind of a breakout second half that fans, if they're coming, should keep their eye on a little
Absolutely.
Bit?
Absolutely. A guy who actually just hit the injured list, Jaden Rudd, out of Panama City, Florida, young outfielder drafted out of high school. He had just started to find his stroke, but then hit the injured list with an oblique injury. He's going to be the next center fielder once Desaun Brown is matriculated up to AA. And a guy who we've seen a lot of good from, but is in the midst of a little bit of a slide right now, number 22 Blue Jays prospect Jace Borfin, who was drafted out of Arkansas last year. He's the go-to right fielder and the three-hole hitter for Brent LaValle's side. So a guy who might be struggling right at this moment, but once we get to that second half, that's somebody who you're going to be able to say, I remember when Jace Borfin was a Vancouver Canadian.
Tyler, oh, sorry, just really quickly, you mentioned earlier, third season for Brent LaValle as well. That stability, I imagine, is a huge feather in the cap for the club and also the big club as well.
100%. You know, producer Lena and I were talking about this before we hopped on the air. To have a manager back for 3 seasons in a row, for me personally, Selfishly, it makes my job so much easier. But for the players, for the staff here, Brent is also an ambassador for our team In this city. And so going on these news hits, as I've done with him over the course of this first 2 months of the year, everybody remembers Brent LaValle, the kid from North Delta. So nice to be able to have a guy steady at the top, and it's also his personality. Steady Eddie is Brent LaValle. Win, lose, or draw, you know what you're getting from Brent, and this team is in great hands.
Let's hope it's a win today. It's against the Tri-City Dust Devils coming up just after 1. Tyler, always a pleasure, man, and can't wait to be back at the Nooner in another couple weeks here.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me, and as always, go C's.
Absolutely. That is the voice of the Canadians here on Sportsnet 650, Tyler Zickel, filling us in on how the season has been so far. And as he said, you know, coming off the championship, maybe a little championship hangover to start the season for the C's, but still, you know, just a shade below 500. And as he said, the great thing about the Northwest League is even if you don't have the success in the first half that you want, you can kind of flush it, go out and do your thing in the second half and still earn that playoff berth.
You know,
fans want to come to the ballpark and see a W, but this team has had such success in the second half of seasons here recently that you look at 20 and 23, you're like, don't worry about that.
Yeah, and it really is.
They always turn it around.
They really are the benchmark in the Northwest League in terms of consistent success, even going back to when it was a low A organization, right, and now at high A still, coming off the championship. I mean, you're like, we're talking a down season, and they're 20 and 23. You know what I mean? It's like they're right around 500, and they'll have plenty of time.
Three games below 500?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the big club.
Man. Oh, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started. Three-putt Shane texts in. I'm not sure what's more refreshing, hearing some baseball talk or not hearing Drancer. Yeah, and somebody else texted in, hey, I thought this was Canucks talk. It's like, I don't know, man. We're at the net. What do you want us to do? We're going to talk. We got to talk to our guy, Tyler Zickel.
Yeah.
When we're at the net. And that's why I said we're doing kind
this
of
is also,
the.
I guess people, if they're tuning in at noon, think.
Right,
Canucks
right.
Talk.
But we started at 11, so we're doing kind of the hybrid, you know, Canucks talk, but also the people show.
We got a noon
give,
coming
give ourselves
up
a little bit of leeway with what we can do here. And on that point, this tweet came across my timeline just a little bit ago. The Buffalo Bills have signed Olympic wrestling gold medalist.
This is a hard, by the way, this is a hard left turn.
We need to get this in. We need to get this in. We're not going to spend a long time on it. But the Buffalo Bills of the NFL have signed Olympic wrestling gold medalist Gable Steveson to play defensive tackle. Notable because Gable Steveson has never played football before at any level. In fact, he said that his first time putting on a pair of cleats was during his workout for the Bills. According to Adam Schefter, it's a 3-year deal.
What? What?
With the Buffalo Bills.
What is happening?
Now, the first thing that popped to my mind was Brock Lesnar, right? Who, of course, signed for the Minnesota Vikings, but I think only played in the preseason for them. Or if he even played preseason.
But he played college football, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did.
Like, Brock Lesnar was a football player.
Because this guy apparently also did a stint in WWE.
Oh.
So he's like Olympic gold medalist wrestler, goes to WWE.
A guy named Gable just screams wrestler.
Now, defensive tackle for the Buffalo Bills. What are they cooking over there in Buffalo?
What's going on? We just had Batch on. We should call him back.
The wrestling scouting report?
Yeah.
Right. That's true. That's a good point.
What is happening? 3-year deal? What did that rugby player sign for?
I
feel like he got a 1-year deal or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. He must have knocked their socks off at the tryout. Sign a guy who's never played the sport before.
And it's just like, hold on.
That's incredible.
You're going to play this level of professional football. We had a prompt for guys named Dudes. I think we have to bypass it for now.
I want to do our...
This is pretty good, though. On 3-year... I can't pitch it. Okay. The moment, like one of my favorite broadcast moments in my career is when you and I were doing free agency and Tucker Poole had been signed. And it was like COVID time and we were on our own set. We were like actively laughing on the air. We're like, 4-year deal? What's happening? Like, how did this happen? I feel like this is this moment for the NFL. A 3-year deal what was his name?
Gable Steveson.
Steveson. 3-year deal for a guy who's never played the sport.
Hey, Bick, he's just going to be a practice squad player. He's built like Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Elon. We got Elon.
Right. Elon's the Bills guy. Defend your Bills.
Yeah, it's a 3-year standard rookie contract. He'll get some experience on the practice squad. Guy was in the WWE. He's built like Aaron Donald. Let's give him a chance here.
Built like Aaron Donald. Let's slow it down here a little bit.
I love the tweet. So the tweet from Schefter. Gable Steveson, an Olympic gold medalist and one of the most dominant college wrestlers in NCAA history, is signing with the Bills per his agent Carter Chow. Steveson now will try to join Bob Hayes as the only athlete to win a Super Bowl ring and an Olympic gold medal. I feel like we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. It's like, oh yeah, this guy's going to win a Super Bowl one day. Like, what? He's never played football before.
I can't get over Aaron Donald. Can we at least, like, Clint McDonald? Can we just choose, like, a defensive tackle that's, like, you know, a solid guy?
Not the best of all time.
Not the instant Hall of Famer.
He's built like Aaron Donald. I mean, Aaron Donald would have crushed it in WWE. So if he can do that, why can't this guy go the other way?
Why can't it
work both ways?
At least a 3-year deal, if it's a standard rookie deal, that makes some sense. How old is this guy? Is he young? Gable Steveson. Shout out that guy.
Gable Steveson. He's 24. So pretty young.
Yeah, okay.
Coming out of college.
Project.
Hey, 6'1", 265.
Man, that is
what he's listed at on Wikipedia. All right. Anyways, I just had to get that in. I had to get your reaction.
For no reason at all.
No reason at all.
Yeah.
Other than it's Friday and it's the People Show here on Sports at 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. And we had lots of texts coming in reacting to, you know, our discussion that we've been having about Philip Hronek, about Brock Besser. We were getting into it with Batch as well. Terry Y texts in my opinion, Besser is unequivocally a core player. Brock is to JT and the Canucks what Glenn Anderson was to the Oilers and Messier. You just don't break up that chemistry. I appreciate the chemistry argument. How much do you pay for it, though? Right? Like, that's the question here. No one's arguing that either Brock Besser or Philip Hronek is a really important and productive player for the Canucks. Of course they are.
Hang on. Is Glenn Anderson Brock in this reference?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, either way.
No one's arguing that they have great chemistry with the star players.
Is Brock a Hall of Famer?
No. But the question is, okay, well, what that can't translate to then keep them at all costs.
Yes.
You know, there still has to be – that's not the end of the argument. That's a part of the discussion.
Especially when
that's something you have to factor in.
Especially when JT has shown chemistry with multiple different players. Especially when the manager and the president are referencing that, like, hey, anybody that plays with JT seems to score a lot of goals. The built-in chemistry of JT's playmaking is kind of there for everyone. There were stretches, like – Pew Suter showed chemistry there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wanes because that's, you know, Pew Suter's a different level than Brock Besser, but, like, Phil DiGiuseppe had a credible stretch there with those guys. You know, 2 months is different than a season, I get it, but a lot of players have shown chemistry with JT Miller.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. It's not that you can't consider it. You can't take it into consideration, but...
You ready to dedicate $70 million total money?
Woo!
To Brock Besser? I legitimately think that's the number.
Like, so, like, 8x9 is what you're looking at? 8x8.8? Wow.
Well, 8.8 was Timo Meier.
Yep.
And if I'm Brock Besser's agent, like, that's where I'm starting at. And I know that there's some people that say, well, like, well, Carter Verhaeghe makes less and scores a lot. Well, Carter Verhaeghe, Jared McCann, and Kempe all signed before. Like, those were bets.
Before they broke out.
Yeah, but the team made bets on them, and then they went and scored those 40 goals. You're past the bet stage. You're in the confirmation stage. And that's also what I'd argue about the Philip Hronek thing, too, is, well, it's like, well, if he can drive a second... Well, we haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're pushed to a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that Philip Hronek can drive a second pairing. It'd be nice. Cool. But to me, like, even in Detroit, like, Philip Hronek's value was laid into the fact that he ran power play one. And I think he can do that, but I don't know if he can drive a second... or a pairing by himself.
I think that's a very fair concern. And then,
but, like, you're not in bet stage. You're in huge financial investment
stage.
You're
committing, right? Then,
yes.
And, again, it was... I understand why they played Hronek almost exclusively with Quinn Hughes, because they were having so much success with it.
Yeah.
But it was also a lost opportunity to learn some of that information, right? To have a better sense of, okay, now we have to make this bet... Do we have all the information we need? Do we have all the knowledge we need to really confidently make that bet?
And plus, it also, and this is the push-pull of the conflict of, you know, wanting to keep them, is they played their best, albeit when they were healthy, but in the least important stretch of the season.
In the
second half of the season, again, they were banged up,
mm-hmm.
but it looks so different in the final third of the season and the playoffs. Than what we saw in the first half of the year for those two guys.
Another text comes in. Nah, be ruthless. Get a game breaker like Gensel. Sell sky high on Besser if you have to. On the other side, somebody texted in, if they trade Besser, I'll never buy another ticket, right? There is that emotional, especially with the season he had. He's the longest tenured Canuck, mm-hmm. right? The health issues again, right? There is so much emotional connection between Canucks fans and Brock Besser. But again, part of the challenge for management is to find a way to put those emotions aside and just make the decision that is best for the team. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This one, hey guys, Hronek isn't a core guy in my books either. If you take a step back and look at it, do you even think he's at the level of an Ekholm, which is Bouchard's right-hand man? He's a secondary piece, but compare him to Ekholm, Taves, etc. Who would you rather have next to Hughes? And I mean, other than the difference that, you know, Ekholm and Taves are left shot and Philip Hronek is a right shot, like, I agree. I don't think he's at that level.
Yeah, I think Ekholm's better at what he does than what Hronek is at what he does.
I think the right-handed Ekholm would be, like, the perfect partner for Quinn Hughes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And what's Ekholm making? Like, a little over $5 million?
something like
that. On the Oilers cap it, right? So that's the kind of ideal. Now, again, you can't just go out and get one of those guys in unrestricted free agency. It's really hard. The Oilers had to make a relatively expensive trade to acquire him. But that's
$6 million, by the way.
$6 million. Yeah. So still. But that's kind of the player I would be looking at, ideally, to compliment Quinn Hughes. All right, it's Canucks Talk. It is the People's Show here on Sportsnet 650. We are live for a nooner at the Nat. Come on down. The Seas are playing the Tri-City Dust Devils. Coming up just after 1 o'clock, you'll hear it here on Sportsnet 650. And also at the Nat for the nooner is
right across from us.
Fortis BC, yeah, set up just across the way from us here with their tent. And we're now pleased just to have a really quick chat with Lauren Beckett, Corporate Communications Advisor for Fortis BC. Lauren, thank you for being here with us today. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. And I know you guys are trying to get the word out about just some simple actions that people can make that will actually make a really big difference when it comes to saving energy.
Yeah, of course. You know, like you said, simple actions can really make a big difference. And it can be as simple as installing weather stripping around doors and windows. That's going to help prevent that cold air from getting into your home in the wintertime. And, of course, that hot air from getting into your home in the summertime when you're trying to cool it down. So not only will that help you save energy, it'll also help you keep more comfortable all year round, too.
Whenever we're here, you guys are usually set up across, and we always learn a little bit of something of what sort of initiative you guys are doing. And it's always, again, as Jamie just said, the simple stuff, but it's also like the day-to-day stuff that I think maybe people have it as their natural habits, but they don't. But it's always a great reminder when you guys are here.
Yeah, for sure. You know, even if it's just taking a shorter shower, 1 to 2 minutes, making sure that dishwasher is full when you turn it on, installing low-flow shower heads and faucet aerators can all really help cut down on like water usage and energy consumption as well.
And I think those are the kinds of things that in the moment they might not seem like that big a deal, but they really add up over time.
Yes, exactly. You know, everything adds up over time.
All right. Tell us about, I know you guys have some great rebate programs, things like that can help people do some of these things to lower their energy use. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, for sure. You know, FortisBC offers rebates on insulation, doors, and windows, you know, energy-saving upgrades. You know, we're right in the middle of renovation season right now, too.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's a really great opportunity, you know, especially if you're opening up a wall. Why not see if you can top off that insulation? We've got rebates available. So, you know, always find that opportunity to see if there's anything that you can do just to make your home a little bit more energy efficient.
Yeah, and of course, going into the summer, right, as well.
Yeah.
So
if people can't come here, is there somewhere where they can check all the details out?
Yes. You know, you can visit fortisbc.com/rebates to learn more about our rebate programs. And then there's also energy saving tips on there as well.
Lauren, really appreciate it. Thank you for getting that information to our listeners. And have a great day here out in the sun at the Nat.
Thank you. You too.
That is Lauren Beckett from Fortis BC sharing some quick tips on reducing your energy use, saving money on energy as well. What you can do is, as she said, yeah, renovation season. And, of course, hopefully warm weather season. We're all looking for ways to reduce those cooling costs as well. All right, just a half hour left here on the program on a beautiful Friday at the Nat. It is Sportsnet 650. It's Canucks Talk. It's the People Show. It's Jamie Dodd. It's Bick Nizar. Tyler Zickel taking over at the top of the hour for the Canadians and the Tri-City Dust Devils. If you're coming down to the Nat, come say hi. We will wrap up next with guys, name, and dudes. Do we do the prompt now, or do we do it at the start of the next segment? I don't know.
Usually at the start.
All right. Yeah. So we'll unveil the prompt.
Yeah.
Next segment here on Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to Canucks Talk / The People Show here on Sportsnet 650 on a beautiful Friday afternoon. We are live at the Nat. Canucks Talk is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. We're live from the Mobile Kintec Studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. What are you doing?
I know.
Come on.
That's so bad.
What on earth was that?
I look, we don't work with each other enough, and I screwed up your cadence. I thought you were going to end it there. That was so bad of me. But I was like, even in the 2 hours we've been sitting here, it's cleared up.
It's clear. It's gotten really nice.
It was a little hazy.
Yeah.
But it's just blue skies now.
Now this is beautiful. It's going to be a nice, not going to be too hot. It's going to be really comfortable.
Double header here today, too.
Oh.
Because it was rained out.
There you go. So, wow. So just an incredible chance to watch some baseball here. The crowd is streaming in, but still seats available. So if you can make it, come on down to the Nat. What's that? You know, game time for game two? 4 o'clock?
I don't know.
All right.
But I just heard Tyler talking about
professional,
it
professional operation.
I believe it's a doubleheader because
we've got going on right here. So two opportunities, to catch some Vancouver Canadians.
You know,
action tonight.
We've been a station for 7 years.
Yes.
The first time we got to experience this is on a day when the Canucks played a Friday playoff game.
Yeah.
There was a nooner. It's like, man, you can come to a nooner, have day baseball.
Yep.
Make your way to Rogers Arena. Like, what a day of sports that is.
By the way, Nate from Comox, who texted in off the top of the show that he was really glad we were on at 11 because it was his broken down truck. I got bad news. He just texted in. Update on my broken down truck. Going to be another hour for the tow. Oof. Any chance of extending the show, fellas? Sorry, Nate. We're off at 1, but Tyler Zickel will have the C's game. So, look, hey, what's better than baseball on the radio on a Friday afternoon? I mean, I guess not having a broken down truck would be better.
Probably should have read the text earlier, too. Ray from Campbell River texted in right after we mentioned that. It says, that dude should have BCAA and wait for his tow truck. Rather, it would be way less expensive and faster.
Are you paid by BCAA?
No,
all of a sudden, what is this?
I'm reading the text here. I'm just reading the text.
All right. You're angling for that free BCAA
membership?
We
try to help out. It's the people show. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It says people helping people.
But it's not helpful. It's not helpful to say it after the fact. If I'm Nate from Comox and I'm waiting by the side of the road for my tow and I'm trying to get some good vibes from the radio, I don't want somebody chiming in, "Well, you should have had BCAA."
The egg is already broken. You can save the next one.
Okay? By the way, Nate texts in he does have BCAA. Oh. So maybe he's just in a tough spot. Maybe there's a bit of a battle.
Well, then Ray from Campbell River, maybe check yourself next time.
All right. Anyways, it won't be the entirety of the last segment, but man, I am hyped for my very first edition here on the People Show of the fantastic segment, Guys Naming Dudes. And for the prompt today, we're going to the NBA. Of course, the Western Conference Finals in the NBA wrapped up last night. The Dallas Mavericks put away the Minnesota Timberwolves. Big performances from Luka Doncic, from Kyrie Irving. But I know you guys did Dallas athletes last week, I believe, right? So instead of rewarding the victorious Mavs, we're going to go the other way. And by the way, as you mentioned, kind of fitting, we're going to go Minnesota Timberwolves for guys naming dudes, because it was the Canadian, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, rocking that was a Tiger Williams, I believe.
Strutting in with the Canucks V.
Looking sharp. I've always felt those are unfairly maligned. The Vs. I have a soft spot for them.
Is it the Art Garfunkel of jerseys?
No, it's way better than that. Like, can you get a jersey of those? Because I always thought that would be fire. By the way, this is wild. Nate from Comox just said, I'm the son of three-putt Shane.
What?
That is an unreal revelation from Nate from Comox. We've got generational texting happening here in the 650-650 inbox. Bringing families together across generations.
We're getting origin stories here.
That is absolutely unreal. What a text from Nate from Comox. Okay, so
this is why we tell you to sign your text.
Yeah,
for moments like this.
So you can develop this character, this relationship. Okay, so guys naming dudes, Minnesota Timberwolves, who were eliminated last night. Shout out to Alexander Walker for rocking the Tiger Williams Canucks jersey on his way. It didn't pay off for them. They lose in 5 in the Western Conference Finals. Still have never been to an NBA Finals as a team, the Minnesota Timberwolves. So we'll open the floor.
Well,
let's name some T-Wolves.
We usually start ourselves.
Yeah. I'm opening the floor for you.
All right. Minnesota Timberwolves. Give me, again, the deeper the cut, the better, right?
Yep. So this isn't a deep cut, but you kind of got to ease into it, right?
Right, but like, don't come in here with Kevin Garnett.
No. But first name off the top of my head from those KG teams, Wally Szczerbiak. I watched a lot of Wally Zerbiak on, like, you know, NBA on NBC with Bill Walton.
I thought you meant watched a lot of Wally Zerbiak.
Model my game.
Learn how to hit spot up threes.
I couldn't shoot like Wally. Trust me. We've talked about this, but I was Bruce Bowen, not Wally Zerbiak.
Give me Omri Caspi.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Omri
Caspi. Yeah, played for the Kings as well. Turkish, I want to say.
Israelian, is he?
Ooh, you might be right. I don't know.
I believe.
Anyways, I think around that same time.
I'm right.
Remember the big, I don't know if he was Serbian, but somewhere around there, Nikola Pekovic?
Yeah.
Big fella, looks just mean as anything.
Works in the paint.
Yeah, bearded. Yeah, not super long arms, but strong.
Let's go to Elon before we go to the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Elon, you got a Minnesota T-Wolf?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a fan favorite European, Alexei Shved.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Ooh. Alexei Shved. He was on the Pekovic team.
Okay.
Ricky Rubio was on that team as well. Yeah.
I feel like you were a big Rubio guy. We had someone at the station that was a huge
I don't
Rubio
know if it was
guy.
Me, but Ricky Rubio was a sick player, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. We've never talked about this before, but you're right. I appreciate
it. I've had conversations with
I appreciate
someone at the
Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
I've had long conversations with someone at the station.
I'll throw out one of the worst first overall picks of all time in the NBA, Michael Olowokandi, drafted by the LA Clippers, but made his way to the T-Wolves later on in his career.
All right, a couple of submissions from the inbox here. Again, we're going for Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota Timberwolves. Also, big shout-out, Timberwolves. Pine Tree. That's my old stomping grounds, Pine Tree Senior Secondary.
Oh.
T-Wolves. Anyways. Latrell Sprewell coming in from
Kiefer. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Kiefer. We were discussing this before the show.
Yep.
End of career.
End of career, yeah. And actually, you know,
it's
pretty
a great pull.
Pretty good. Like, 33 years old, you know, average 16 points a game for them.
That's decent.
That's not bad. Now, what? You know, look, he was never an efficiency monster, so wasn't then either, but not bad. Not bad towards the end of his career after he left the Knicks. This is a good one from the inbox that did not pop up for me. From Lee. Andre Kirilenko. Of course, you always think of him as a Utah Jazz.
He's getting dunked on.
Wrapped
by,
up.
Actually, Davis.
He wrapped up his career in Brooklyn, but he had that one season where he went to the T-Wolves, 2012-2013, started all 64 games for them. Andre Kirilenko, that's a good pull from Lee. I would not have thought that's of right. Kirilenko with the T-Wolves.
Nice shout here. Cherokee Parks. Look, if you can do the Grizzlies-T-Wolves crossover, it bumps up in our rankings here.
Did Blue Edwards play for the T-Wolves?
Oh, he may have. I know Anthony Edwards play there.
Oh, maybe that's who I'm thinking of.
Can I say another Anthony Carter?
Anthony nice. Carter, nice one, Zach.
Yeah, no, he did not. Blue Edwards did not play for the T-Wolves.
I feel like Blue Edwards played for Milwaukee. Which is a similar, you know, similar jerseys, I guess.
I think that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, the cut on the jerseys.
By the way, we got to read. We got so many coming in, including from Mike the Urologist, from Brock Bober, from Alan in Vancouver, and others as well.
RJ and Killarney, we know who that is.
Isaiah Ryder, NBA slam dunk champion. That was a good one. That's a good one.
What was the dunk
gotta
called?
Get that one
in. Oh, man. It was the East Bay Funk.
East Bay Funk?
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Stephon Marbury.
Stephon Marbury, of course. Him and KG hooking up there. Tom Gugliotta.
Yeah.
How have we not brought up Tom Gugliotta already?
I was going to say him.
There you go.
He was one. He went to All-Star with Garnett in 97.
Wow.
And he's also inducted into the Hall of Fame
on.
In Long Island.
Did I just confirm that if I ever want Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and the answer is... Can you name the T-Wolves that went to the 1997 All-Star game? I can call a friend, and it's Lena.
I mean.
that was a poll. 1997 All-Star game. This is what this segment's all about. By the way, guys, name and dudes, you don't got to be a guy to play along.
You can be Lena, a gal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Shout out.
You don't have to be a guy to play along. Lena's... You can be spiritually just part of it. Don't
I
worry.
I was just waiting to be summoned.
I'm sorry I took yours.
I do the disclaimer now because people got mad at me once. They're like, what is this segment? I was like, look, you know what? Got to be a guy to play along. Just shout it out. Text in. It's a spiritual thing.
A lot of people texting about Sam Cassell.
Sure.
The alien, of course.
Oh, yeah. I got one for you. Movie star. Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Ooh, yes.
In Hustle.
Yeah, was it Bo? Bo Cruz.
Yeah, Bo Cruz.
By the way, do you see Anthony Edwards getting the Uno reverse card, right? Because he's the trash talker.
Right.
And he's talking. Luca? And Luca's doing it right back to him.
Luca's doing it to fans, yesterday.
Oh, Luca is a monster.
He was going right after people.
I'll give another one.
I wish there was more of that in hockey.
High-end pick that didn't work out, and also they got dinged for cap circumvention. Joe Smith.
Nice point.
I forget exactly what it was, but they were trying to pay him off book under the salary cap, and they got dinged for it.
It was some... Oh, I can't remember exactly, but wasn't it they gave him a one-year deal for low money because they were going to give him an extension? It was something like that.
Yeah.
But it was some sort of...
Yeah, they promised him a future multi-million dollar deal if he signed with the team for below market value.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's like...
Can't do that.
That's collusion. That's like straight up collusion.
Sometimes that is cap circumvention.
I don't know if people run fantasy football leagues or baseball or hockey leagues. Sometimes I'll get a message from a team owner of mine, and they'll be like, hey, can I do this? I was like, no, that's illegal. That is like straight up collusion. It's good that you checked with me, but that is collusion. So the T-Wolves should have checked with David Stern back in the day and be like, hey, if we did this, is this okay? But they just didn't. They're just like, you know what, we're going to go straight through it. And they were dinged pretty hard, weren't they? Like first round picks?
Yeah. They got hit hard. I had another. Oh, Anthony Peeler.
Nice one.
Ryan in Parksville. That's a strong one. That's a strong answer.
Again, we're going for Minnesota Timberwolves here. Didn't Mark Madsen, towel-waving all-star
Mark
play
Madsen
there?
Played for the T-Wolves, 100%. Yeah.
I would just remember him 12th man for the Lakers.
Yes.
The best towel-waver
dancer,
in the league.
The dancer at the at the parade, the championship parade.
He signed a big deal in Minnesota, didn't he? Because that was like the post-glow of like, oh, wow, you were on the Lakers with the Kobe and Shaq era? And I think he signed a big deal. I'll try to bring up his contract here.
All right, I'm going to go deep, deep. Lauren Woods, big-time center. Out of Arizona, didn't last that long in the league, had to stop, was drafted by Minnesota as well. I think he was like 7-1, something like that, big center, played for Arizona. I'm gonna try to challenge myself now to another level. I think Lauren Woods was on that Arizona team with Richard Jefferson, Luke Walton.
Well, you're just naming the whole squad.
Who's the point guard? Remember, he was a little guy, senior. Jason something?
No.
Anyways, I'll figure it
out. Earl Boykins?
No.
Did he play there?
Anyways, I was just trying to go like another level to guys naming dudes.
Yeah, you were just trying to do the whole roster there. Kevin Ollie?
Did Kevin Ollie play there? I mean, Kevin Ollie was around for a long time.
Yeah.
So he probably did at some point.
Malik Beasley coming in from So Money in
Vancouver. Sure. Ooh, here's one. The other point guard they drafted ahead of Steph Curry, Johnny Flynn.
Sure.
Remember they took two point guards ahead of Steph Curry? Johnny Flynn.
Only this one. No name on this one, but Pooh Richardson.
Pooh Richardson. That's a good one.
Good shout.
That's a good one. Drafted by Minnesota.
Real full name, Jerome, but nickname, Pooh Richardson. That's an unfortunate nickname, eh?
How do you get the nickname Pooh?
It's got to be, by the way, it's with the H.
Yeah. But still.
It's Winnie the, but...
But do you remember the a part of our Heritage commercials about Winnie the Pooh?
Yes.
And it was like, why Pooh? And he's like, I don't know, Winnie the Pooh. It's like, how is this the story? How is that the origin story for Winnie the Pooh? I don't know. What? Did something similar happen with Jerome Richardson? And you're like, hey, you're Pooh now. Why Pooh? I don't know. Jerome Pooh Richardson. A part of our Heritage.
The Canadian Heritage commercial reference cashes at plus 7,000 today. Oh my god.
Those are great. Do they still make those?
I haven't thought about that specific commercial in so long.
By this one, I think this is the deepest cut. Somebody texted in William Avery. And William Avery played 3 years in the NBA, and I did not know this guy. And this was like from 99 to 2002, which is like the peak of my NBA fandom. And I'd never heard of William Avery. Out of Duke, so came from a big school. But shout out to whoever texted in William Avery, because that is a deep, deep pull.
Man, I'm still not. I got tears in my eyes here. Still trying to get over the.
Shiloh, I believe, who texted him, Willie Mavery. So shout out to Shiloh. Shout out to Shiloh for the deep cut.
Well done.
Are we done naming dudes?
Is it over? The show, but it feels like we're running out of steam here.
Was I not supposed to start it when
no,
I did
No, you
that?
Weren't supposed to. Oh. It was supposed to, like, the last 10 minutes of the show.
My bad. Well, you could have stopped me. You could have jumped in.
I tried to. And then
no, you didn't.
No. At the start of the segment, I jumped the cadence there, and I was we're not going to just keep doing this here, so I'm not going to just jump back in a second time.
All right. Well, you take over for the final 8 minutes.
What? What?
There's a text you wanted to read.
Yes.
Look, if you have any other T-Wolves that jump to mind and you just have to tell somebody about, let us know. We dug pretty deep there.
650. Look, some good texts were coming in here. But we were just discussing the Besser stuff. This text.
Oh, by the way, we got one on Twitter. Doug West. Another Grizzlies T-Wolves crossover.
And an RIP as well.
Yes. So, if you have any Grizzlies T-Wolves crossovers, we want to hear.
Nice one. Yeah. Good text. This text came in earlier. Horvat was traded. He was a center and a 30-goal scorer, captain, long-term fan favorite, and traded. Mm-hmm. Alvi didn't talk it. The team must get faster. Besser is the slowest on the team.
Now, the difference is Bo Horvat was traded from a position of strength, right? Down the middle.
Correct.
Besser would be being traded from a position of weakness. That's the biggest difference. I take the point about the the point about the speed,
yes.
Right? But does every player need to be fast on the team, or do they just want more team speed in general? I don't know if the speed is enough of a factor for them to say, and therefore we don't want to commit to him.
He's
right?
also just a functionally good hockey player, and I kind of hate this conversation. And look, if you push game to shove, if you're like sign or trade Brock Besser, you have to do one this summer, I'd probably lean towards trade. But it just sucks because, like, there's everything that's enjoyable about Brock Besser, right? Like, he has worked so hard. Mm-hmm. The type of personality you want to bet on constantly, too. And, you know, 3 years ago, I know hindsight's easy here, but you almost kind of wish that they had said, hey, man, what if it was a 6-year deal instead of a 3-year deal? The price would have been different, obviously, but...
Well, man, you wish you go back to the first bridge.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Could you have gone long? Could you have gone 8 years?
Of course.
Right? At that point. But that's another story. But, you know, and even to the speed question with Brock Besser, look, obviously that's never going to be his game.
But he makes up for it with a certain level of intelligence.
And, I mean, he was matching up against Connor McDavid in the playoffs. Did he look out of place? No. He played well in the playoffs, right? So it's not as if it's something that, oh, you know, you can't play him in this series because he's too slow. He can't keep up with the pace. As you said, it's something he has to work around, but he's found ways to work around it. Now, as you sign him and he gets into his 30s, do you worry about does it get below a certain baseline at a certain point? But the other part of that is sometimes guys who were never fast to begin with actually have an easier time aging, because it's not like, uh-oh, I've lost my speed and I have to compensate. It's like, no, I was never fast. I've already been compensating for not having the greatest foot speed, so I kind of know how to do that as I get older. So I don't think you just look at it and it's as simple as, oh, he's the slower player on the team, we got to trade him. He's shown he can be effective despite that. You can value traits, but you can't be so, you know, mm-hmm. short-sighted about it that anyone who doesn't fit that mold has to go.
The thing I will say, though, is because we had a couple of texts and we're like, hey, they want more scoring and you're trading someone that's scoring goals. I feel like we kind of had that same refrain when discussing about Bo Horvat. It's, well, if they're going to get rid of 30 goals, are they going to be a lesser scoring team? Well, they showed that they can score goals over the totality of a season. The thing is, when it mattered most, that problem did materialize. And so, yeah, it's a good shout, and it's a good thought, too, as well, is what are the problems that it does create? Now, does it also provide you flexibility financially to now go throw a bunch of money elsewhere?
It does, but how much money do you really want to be committing in one free agency class, given the track record of big-time free agent signings? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're right, but there's only so much UFA shopping can do for your team.
Correct.
And if you're thinking, like, okay, we're going to sign 3 big-time scoring forwards, right?
Yes.
Ooh, that's expensive and that's risky.
This is some galaxy brain stuff, but like in my mind's eye, if you were to go down the road of Brock Besser, right?
Yep.
To me, like, what makes a lot of sense is for a right-hand D at the price point that you're comfortable with, and Hronek goes out for a goal-scoring winger at a price point you're comfortable with, and it's like you kind of solve the problems, and then you still have the money to go spend on a Gensel, assuming Gensel makes it to market. But we're talking multi-domino effect here. But is that a reality that can exist? Like, can Brock Besser net you a $4.5 million D-man plus an asset that you're like, hey, we got another piece into the organization, and can Hronek net you a five and change scoring
top six winger
with another asset, because I would argue right-hand D might be worth more than that. And then you still get to go to the offseason and be like, hey, you know what? We just cleared out near $7 million in our books. Yeah, we added nine-some-odd million, but we don't have to give that money to Hronek now. Two roster spots have been filled. We got the money to go after a Jake Gensel now. And do you problem solve it that way?
And the interesting thing is, because as you said, like, it's kind of galaxy brain, and there's so much that has to fall into place for something like that. Haven't we seen this management group have the appetite for those types of things, though, right? I mean, even the Bo Horvat, Philip Hronek deal was a two-step process, right? Okay, we're going to go do one thing, and then we're going to use those assets.
Two-step authentication.
Love that two-factor authentication. And then we're going to use those assets to fill another hole on the roster. So they obviously are comfortable approaching things like that. Again, you do kind of run up against like a complexity barrier at a certain point where it's like, okay, that's too many steps. And then if it falls apart at one step in the process, are you kind of left high and dry going into free agency? But I think at a baseline, whether you think, oh, they got to trade Besser, whether you think they got to sign him, they got to trade Hronek, they got to sign him, they got to explore all options. You have to at least have a really good idea about what the trade market is out there to know if something what you're talking about is feasible.
I just wonder if the trade market, as much as we have a conversation about it, if it got a little depressed after the blood clot scenario. You wouldn't hope so, but now like an acquiring team is taking on risk at that stage. And that might be something that plays out in August and September rather than June and July, when you'd probably want to sort that out. Because if it's a three-month timeline where you get much more clarity, and Brock was pretty vocal about it being a hockey-related incident, not a genetic type of thing, and maybe that alleviates some concerns, but like there's a lot of logical sense of why you should explore that this summer.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. It is a fantastic Friday afternoon here at Nat Bailey Stadium. Come on down if you can. There's still time. Check out the Seas taking on the Tri-City Dust Devils, and it's a doubleheader. So if you can't make it here for the first one, stop by and check out Game 2 on a beautiful late spring Friday afternoon. Bic, thanks for doing this, man. This was awesome.
Love
I got
it.
To name some dudes. That was fantastic. Producer Lena, shout out to you as well. Thank you to everyone for listening, and it's going to be Tyler Zickel on the call here with Canadians Baseball coming up next right here on Sportsnet 650.